Welcome back to the Think Global, Speak Local podcast from Rosetta Stone, where thought leaders and industry experts share ideas for using foreign language skills to improve business performance and remain competitive in the multicultural and international business environment. On this edition, we join Bruce Allen Johnson, a linguist and author of the book Carry a Chicken in Your Lap or Whatever It Takes to Globalize Your Business, and Jen Fraser, Rosetta Stone's Director of Customer Reference Programs, as they dispel myths about the difficulty of learning new languages and discuss the most effective methods for learning how to think and speak in a foreign language.
So Bruce, just to get started, tell me about your background in business and diplomatic contexts.
I entered the business world very young, Jen, actually when I was 13. I had, at least at the time, the youngest licensed business in the state of California. And then I entered the diplomatic and the intelligence worlds much later on, obviously, and stayed in those for quite some time, and entered the business world in 1980, and then formed my own businesses in 85 and 87, and have been in that world ever since, crossing between them.
So how many languages do you speak, and how did you learn them?
Not including Greek and Latin, which I started studying very young, I speak seven.
Wow.
And I started learning, actually, German with my grandmother at probably age six or seven.
You know, Bruce, some people say they aren't good at learning languages, and you surely are good at learning languages. What would you say to people who say that, you know, they don't have the language gene?
Well, do they have the breathing gene? It really is a very poor excuse. And one of the things I've observed in Europe a great deal, I spent a lot of time in Switzerland over many years. And of course, that's a trilingual country officially. It's actually quadrilingual if you add Romansh, which is only spoken by about 2% of the population. But Italian, French, and German. And I might add, actually, there's a when people say that it's German, only in the written form. The spoken is a separate language entirely called Schweizerdeutsch. But what I watch is little children, 1, 2, 3 years old, who are speaking often in three languages at once. And the general Swiss approach has been respond to the child in the dominant language. And what do you know? By the time they're 3 and a half, they're speaking perfectly in two or three of those languages without thinking about it. It's not that they're any more intelligent than we are. You could satisfy yourself of that point by looking at any of the IQ tables published by Stanford. They're the same as Americans. It's attitude. It's how you view it. And that comes down to simple thinking. In other words, we are the controllers of our own thinking. We choose how we view something. And if we choose a foreign language as an enemy, if we choose it as something that's like learning calculus 3, well, then we're going to fear it. And when we fear something, Jen, as you know, we're never good in it. So the first thing we have to tackle is that false belief, and that's all it is, that we're not good at language. Usually the person saying that is awfully good at English.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of that fear comes from the experience in the traditional classroom.
It does, very much so, and it also comes from the false and dangerous belief that everybody speaks English. They do not. Or if they do, they speak it as a second or third language.
So let's talk about traditional approaches to language learning. You know, the traditional approach tends to focus on the grammar translation method. And I hear a lot of people coming out of the traditional classroom saying that they can read it, they can write it, but guess what they can't do, Bruce?
They can't speak it.
So why do you think that's so?
Because they have learned what we call sight language. They've learned to see things on paper as symbols. Now, that method that you talked about does work with ancient languages. But in modern language, it's a dynamic thing. It's a living, breathing thing that's constantly changing. In fact, most modern languages have academic commissions in each country whose whole job is to watch how a language is developing and to make decisions whether certain new words ought to be considered to be added to dictionaries. Well, this is only saying one thing, that language is a living, breathing thing that is going to change with people and trends and developments. And the only way you're going to be sensitive to that is to have learned it in a different method that requires thinking in it, which is the Rosetta Stone approach.
Especially if you look at the English language in general and you see that the 1,000 most frequent words used in English account for 85% of common communications. And it doesn't matter if you're talking in a business context or a personal context. And in my mind with Rosetta Stone, when I look at the power of the solution, the fact that Rosetta Stone has you thinking in the language and really communicating in structure allows you to be able to activate that language and uncover that vocabulary that would be important in an industry-specific application.
Activation is a great word. And I think that's one of the great powers of the Rosetta Stone method is the thinking in the language. There is no substitute, Jen, absolutely no substitute in language at all for the ability to think in it. And we don't have to have a 2,000-word vocabulary to think in a language. It can be very simple.
So in order to get to that point of thinking in a language, what is the best way to pick up an additional language?
Well, this is why I like to help Rosetta Stone, because I think it's the best method out there. And I don't say that just because I like the company. I say it because it's based on immersion. And it's based also on learning to think in the language straight out the gate. You're not sitting down saying, okay, let me show you now the six endings for this particular tense in Spanish. You're actually putting sentences together that make sense from the very outset, and that by using the verb properly with the right ending, you don't have to worry about learning the tables. You learn the power of assembly through thought. And thinking in the language also removes that technical component. The technical component would make us stop and think while we're thinking. But in the Rosetta Stone method, you don't think that way. And that's where you start getting the mastery.
As you discussed, having this immersion experience is going to be important to work towards that thinking goal. Am I correct?
Absolutely. It's the first step and, frankly, the only effective step I've ever learned.
Now, Bruce, it would be wonderful if we could all live in the country of the target language we were learning. And you've had a lot of experience traveling around the world and being able to speak language. It is unarguably the best way to learn a new language. You're familiar with Rosetta Stone's approach to language learning, and my question to you is, how do you see Rosetta Stone fulfilling this need for immersive learning when going in-country isn't possible?
Well, the fact that it's built on that very concept, it's as if you were talking to somebody in that country. I mean, for example, being able to contact native speakers while you're working with it, while you're learning it, is absolutely imperative to making you feel as if you are over there. And that's another one of Rosetta Stone's great strengths, is that you're dealing with native speakers from the outset with emphasis on how you form the words. I think the real value, Jen, comes from the fact that since we've already established that immersion is the key to learning how to think in the language, you've got to have a means of talking with somebody somewhere in order to test where you are, and also to build your own confidence that you are advancing, even if it's at a slow speed because of the amount of time you can put into something.
So in acquiring a language, how important to you was being able to speak that language with others and getting feedback on your speaking?
I would say it was all important. Although I enjoyed reading in a language, and I still do, and of course you have to do that very often to keep up your facility in any language, it was that talking with people that made me feel I had command. It was also self-reinforcing in the sense that when someone is listening to you and they actually smile at something you said, and it wasn't because you said it badly, it was because they understood your point and approved it, a light goes on. You just suddenly start feeling a proficiency in the language that reinforces your desire to learn more.
So, what about points of grammar? Do you think I need to know what the present progressive tense is in order to communicate it?
Well, you'll know it if you're learning it by the Rosetta Stone method because it's taught, but it's taught in a soft way. So you suddenly find yourself using it. Then I think as a linguist that it's much easier to go back later and realize this is the tense because that's just a matter of being a literate person. In English, for example, we know when something sounds wrong. We don't always know why, it depends on our education, but we just know that we don't, for example, say, them and me is going to the store. We may not be able to say because it's subject verb agreement and a singular versus plural, but we know intuitively it's wrong.
So from a global standpoint, Bruce, is it important that language learners strive to be fluent in a language or at least conversationally proficient?
You know, there are many, many things we don't know in our own native language. I mean, I don't know about you, Jim, but I keep the Oxford English Dictionary open on my Mac every day, and I'm a professional writer. I still need it for looking up new words, not only to use, but to decipher, depending on who you're reading. So fluency is a relative term in language.
So it's more important to be able to say, how do you say that in a language, or what does that mean, to help you communicate effectively?
That's precisely right.
So what would you say are the critical or essential elements that are needed for language learning in order to walk away being able to activate that language?
First, I think you need to realize you have nothing to fear in learning a language, because it's the same part of your brain that rides a bicycle. And it's also the same part of your brain that taught you English. I mean, that you're speaking every day without ever thinking or hesitating about what you're saying. You're speaking it as you and I are right here, very openly, very relaxingly. So the first is to overcome this irrational fear that language is something that's going to bite you. It's absolutely as natural to you as breathing. The second is you need to learn the language from the ground up through usage, through immersion, which is the Rosetta Stone method. And the third is you need to keep in mind, I think, the whole time you're learning it, you have a purpose for learning this. You didn't start it because you had nothing to do. You started it because you're either going to be posted overseas or you want to advance your career for another reason. But you've got a motive. You've got an objective. And this is going to help your life.
That is it for this edition of the Think Global, Speak Local podcast. You can find this conversation along with other podcasts on our website at rosettastone.com/podcast or in the iTunes store under the Business Podcasts category. If you have any questions about the topics or issues discussed on the podcast, please visit our website at rosettastone.com/business or email us at business@rosettastone.com.